This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the cafe. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy at work, just like you? Right now, times are very tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to help you through your workday. So tell your next-door neighbour, your friends, and even your dad to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. We hope to speak in a moment with Catherine Bennett, our favourite epidemiologist. And look, I was just looking at an article in the Age TAS, the long launch, the trials of opening a restaurant mid-pandemic. You can't imagine how difficult that would be trying to...
Oh, it would be shocking.
Any business. Mm. You know, the uncertainty about knowing... Will we be in lockdown? Will we come out of lockdown? And it's important to remember, we had a message from a listener on this, that, you know, the reason this, the overwhelming reason for this latest outbreak was a transmission from someone who'd been in hotel quarantine in Adelaide and been tested extensively, and they were out about in Victoria, and, you know, they believed, you know, they were negative. So, you know, at the end of the day... It is unfortunate, but you know, I can't think of how difficult it would be, you know, to do it, Tass.
I can't imagine it. I think, you know, people like yourself and myself are very fortunate that we have, you know, our own income sources, and our own jobs, and our own networks, and you know, we're not actually trying to make it out there on our own. All those restaurants, and there were a number that I know of that did actually schedule to open up just before lockdown last year, or in the middle of lockdown, and basically were put on ice for so long. It's horrible. That's all I can say. It's just horrible.
And you know, we need to remember that now.
We've actually got Catherine.
We're just about put her on the panel. So, this is Macca and Tass on Saturday Magazine.
Good morning, Catherine.
We're speaking with our favourite epidemiologist and crockery collector, Catherine Bennett from Deakin Uni. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning to you both.
Catherine, we were saying earlier on that we think that we found you. We feel like we're taking some bit of responsibility for your media profile.
Does that mean you want a cut of my $0 payments for all my media
No, not at all, not at all. We've just enjoyed having priority access to you, and we've enjoyed being able to engage with you on what is an incredibly serious topic.
And I did introduce Catherine earlier, but prior to the show, when I said we're speaking with Catherine Bennett, and the reason I like talking with Catherine is she doesn't talk shit.
That's an epidemiological term, by the way.
Yeah.
That's right.
Catherine,
can
I kick off the conversation? There are many epidemiologists out there, and I have been actually listening very closely to the different perspectives that different epidemiologists do present. And, of course, what I'm discovering early in the piece is that you don't all agree with each other, and some of you have... let's say nuanced differences, but others have fairly wild differences as well in your perspectives. How can that be? And isn't science the science?
It's always a risk when you're in a new situation that you're drawing on your understanding of what's happening, but a lot of it's based on more general theories. In the early days of the outbreak last year, that was certainly the case. And people are, you know, have a different sort of handle on the data. So what I think I've observed is we've got three things happening. One is when you don't have a lot of facts, or even if you do but you're not that close to them, people can speak in generalities, and sometimes generalities don't fit. You know, the information we have locally actually tells us a slightly different story or gives us different options. The second is people have very strong views on something. And I think we saw that this week. You know, there was a question about, a lot of the media were saying, why is Melbourne different? And my response to that was, well, we're probably not in ways that matter for this outbreak. And that's the message, that this could happen anywhere. But we had others come out and try and think of what the differences might be. And they were, again, in very general terms. But, of course, you know, we've since had a lot of discussion about that. And some of those general sort of statements have now been shown to not be underpinned by data, you know, our demography and how Victorians mix according to government measures on that. So it's a bit about sometimes a bit of premature news coming out and whatever, but sometimes people have quite strong opinions and they think you go a certain way and then they'll sort of have that barrow and that's the one that they'll stick with. And I guess that's where I've approached it a bit differently. I don't have a vested interest in any particular response to outbreaks. I just want to have the best evidence-based outbreak response.
Catherine, and also, what's been interesting...
But what's to get smarter.
Yes, yes. I was going to say, what's been very interesting about this epidemic is that, or pandemic, I should say, is that everybody's become an expert. Everybody now has a very strong opinion about this and knows the way around it and has a very strong view about what we should or should not be doing. Personally, I find this very frustrating. I find it very annoying when all of a sudden I see somebody who runs a hairdressing salon or somebody who runs a cafe trying to tell us how we should be actually managing this pandemic. What do you say to that?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because we're all living in it and it matters to our livelihoods and it matters to our sanity, you know, how we kind of approach these things. And you know, there's a problem not even just in the general community or the business world, but even amongst some of our leaders, that people, you know, you get a bit of information and then you start to speak the language of the science and so on. But there have been some clear examples where people have been doing that but haven't actually understood, haven't really grasped what sits behind it. You know, it does take training and experience to really know what you're talking about in this space. And we've had people moving in from other areas that aren't really infectious disease-focused people. And again, there's a learning curve in doing that. So I do think it's a challenge. And it's really about, to my mind, opening up the conversation. The risk is, as you say, that people have a very strong view and they just want to push it out and tell other people what to do. What I think has been the real challenge across, particularly the second half of the second wave, is that we lost that space to have the conversation in the middle, which is where we all keep moving with the evidence and we all share ideas and we find better ways to go forward. It became very polarised and it continues to be. You know, we go into a lockdown now and immediately push people back into corners, like we should be doing this at all costs or we shouldn't be doing this at any cost. And, of course, the truth lies somewhere in the middle and that conversation starts to die out. So that's where I've been working hard to try and keep that conversation going in the middle, but you get beaten up by both sides trying to do that.
Yes,
you
do.
So it's tough. It's a tough place to be.
I wanted to ask, Catherine, there's a lot of talk about, you know, the different variants, the different strains of this and the speed of transmission and this this fleeting transmission idea. Now, we know there are a couple of false positives, but is this, you know, the latest strain? It is very infectious, isn't it? And it is...
Yeah. And I think again, you know, that's where, you know, the language and public health messaging really matters, because if you talk it up to a level that people start to go, hang on, it's not that bad, then you miss the point, which is it is more infectious. But we can control it. So the Kappa strain we saw circulating is... probably somewhere close to the UK strain, and a worry, you know, worse than what we did have circulating last year, but manageable. Then the one we're looking at now, Delta, that's described from the UK data. It's hard to measure that in India because so much is going on there, and it's the data becomes less reliable when they're overwhelmed anyway. But clearly, that's been a major driver of a massive wave. In the UK, it's seen their cases, you know, lift again, which is a concern. But their modelling, based on what they're seeing in the UK, which is a bit more measurable, suggests it's 50% more infectious again.
Wow.
Catherine,
than the UK strain, yeah.
Catherine, I understand that the World Health Organization have now changed the way in which we describe and name these variants.
Sorry, Tass has dropped out there.
It's an important point because these strains were identified first in certain settings in particular ways, and that's why we're using Kappa and Delta. And in fact, what we used to call the UK-associated strain is now Alpha, as the first of the variants of concern. So we've got a transition period, whereas some people are going, well, what's that? I don't know that. But the whole idea from WHO was to keep it simple. And because we do have, you know, more than one variant of interest or concern identified in one region, you can't just name it after a region, but also, you know, that's not that helpful anyway. These variants have often arisen in multiple places. So the idea is to keep it simple so people can, you know, relate the information they're hearing back to these variants. And we're kind of in a transition that only happened in the last week. So
Catherine, I missed you for a little bit because my line fell off.
The listeners heard, Tass. We won't revisit, but because we're nearly out of time. I wanted to ask Catherine, with the Pfizer dose, it's recommended you have the next one 3 weeks, and with AstraZeneca 12 weeks. What are the implications if that is delayed from an from your perspective? If those second doses are delayed, does that have a major impact, or is it sort of marginal if it's only a short period of time?
Well, the UK did a lot of that because they just focused on getting the first doses out first and then came back for the second, and that was Pfizer and AstraZeneca. And in fact, that's part of the reason we went for 12 weeks, because they found a better immune response.
Okay.
The two things, one is you actually do have pretty good cover, not great, but pretty good, in that period when you're still only covered by one dose. But it doesn't seem to impact on the second. And we're probably looking at a whole range of options. If we did stretch it out further, whether you use the same vaccine or you switch vaccines, all those things are now in the mix because they're doing good work to find out, you know, which one gives you the better outcome, and that's what we want overall, and gives us some flexibility as well in the rollout.
Right. Tass?
I've sort of lost the thread of the question that I was going to ask you, but I also wanted to just ask you a little bit about the rate of spread, and this is something that we should be concerned about. Are the variants actually moving in such a way that they will actually become a new set of problems for us to deal with?
Certainly locally, you know, if you're talking about something that's 50% more infectious than even the Alpha strain associated with the UK originally, then you have a bigger problem to manage this at a population level. But of course, you know, we saw about 10% of close contacts infected with the wild-type strains from last year. That jumped to about 15% with the Alpha variant. And now with these new variants, we're probably looking at something that's closer to 20%. If you're still talking about a small outbreak, you're in the early days of an outbreak, like we are hopefully here, if you have 100 close contacts, then we're talking about, instead of 10 being infected last year, 20 now. That's still manageable when it's 10 people difference, but you multiply that by thousands, and of course then it changes the way your exponential curve goes up. So really important we get these early, but the same rules apply, the same precautions work, and so we can contain these, but it's harder work, and it's more of a problem if it gets away from us. So that's why there's a bit of concern, but at the same time, you know, we again have learnt from what's happened overseas, and that really helps us with our response.
Catherine, thank you so much for your time this morning. It's always great to have you on the airwaves. Given that we've found you, we would love you to come into the studio once we move into our new studio.
You're going to be a special guest at the Pride Centre.
I'll be very, very, very pleased to come and be on air live.
It'll be fantastic.
With my discoverers.
Yes. Look, thank you so much. And we've got a message from a listener here. You don't have to comment on it. You might want to laugh at it. A listener said, the other crucial question to resolve is Jerome versus Sutton. which is who's hotter. I was in the Sutton camp, but now I'm leaning to the Commander. We don't want to comment, Catherine, but something to make you laugh for the day. There you go.
Good to look at these from all angles.
It is.
Yes, it is. It is.
Thank you. Thank you so all much right. again, Catherine, and have a lovely Saturday.
Thank you both. Bye.
Pleasure.
Bye-bye.
So, Tess, Jerome or Brett?
I can't see them that way, Macker. I just see them as being scientists, to be honest.
They've both got facial hair, Tess, is that's what it is.
Not my type.
No.
Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.